talk to me, damn it, or else I'm gonna throw you in the fire!
You like scary movies?
Ghost story and horror film addict.
Ooh, scary movie.
Welcome to Spooky Night with your favorite uncle and host, Alexis Chainsaw Massacre.
Hey y'all, welcome to Boogie Nights. This is your favorite uncle and host, Alexis Chainsaw Massacre. We are back again, and yes, my other half, my husband, Bizarre Love.
Hello.
I just realized, you know, going through the podcast history, there's times where we hit the mark a couple times in a month, and other times where it's been months.
We make them when we feel them. You know?
And that's exactly what it is. Like, I hate being committed to, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna watch this many movies because I don't feel compelled to talk about everything.
This is for fun.
Yeah.
This is for fun.
But if anybody wants to sponsor us, Great Lakes. Or cat food, because right now the podcats are up and alive and clawing in the cat tree. So, like, if Friskies or Great Lakes wants to sponsor us, that'd be fucking great.
That'd be perfect.
Well, we are drinking Great Lakes.
As a matter of fact.
Yeah, and we are around cats. Try to keep them out, but they just come back in, and it's really just kind of a waste of our energies.
We didn't even try.
No.
We decided not to try.
Right.
Because it never works anyway.
So if you hear background scratching and biscuit making,
yeah,
it happens. In the words of Eminem, I am whatever you say I am.
We have lots of roommates.
We do. So today, you know, I alluded to this the last podcast when we were talking about The Blackening, but we are here to talk about Insidious, The Red Door, but all the Insidious movies in general, because I feel like it's kind of tough to isolate them at this point.
Right.
Now, I know you and I were talking about this the night that we saw it.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of a rarity for this podcast, but I feel like I'm going to have to spoil.
Spoil away.
Because...
Alert.
If you do not want to hear, if you're like, oh, the Insidious movies are my favorite and I haven't seen The Red Door yet and I'm dying to, don't listen to this.
I would argue that we'll save you lots of time.
Yeah. Honestly, the way I see it, I wasn't super invested into this movie to begin with and my expectations were pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can save you $13 or $20 from seeing it in IMAX, 3D, fucking rustling seats and shit, I'm going to. Upside down experience. I don't know what the movies are like these days. What that kind of shit's like, but... excuse me. But... sorry. I am a dumpster child, and it is my podcast, so I'm gross. But, yeah, honestly, and that's why I have to spoil it. That way you can know just how much money you should just have in your pocket.
So clearly you can, you know, make a guess at how much we enjoyed it, I guess.
A plus.
Yeah.
And actually, I made notes, which Arlo and I were talking about all this on the porch. I never want to script this podcast, but one thing I do realize after listening to this shit that I do leave some stuff out, and we don't edit this podcast at all. It's just kind of... It is what it is. Yeah, it's very off the cuff. But I realized listening to some of our shit, like, oh, I meant to say that, and I had this thought. So... I did a lot of scribbling right after we saw this movie. There's a lot on my mind, and probably yours too. We had a lot to talk about on the way home.
Let's get into it. Yeah.
So, Insidious 5, The Red Door. It is a direct sequel to the second one. So, it starts with the Lambert family, and the whole concept is Dalton, the main character in the first one, is going to college. And that's all I really got from the trailer. He was going to college and him and his dad do some shit together. But you don't quite know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Shit's going wrong again. Now, to recap from the second one. So, I guess all of them are getting ruined. So if you haven't seen any of the Insidious
movies.
Why
are you listening? Don't listen to
this. Don't listen to this at all. Because also they've been out for like 13 years now.
I mean, I hadn't seen them until there was this one coming out.
So. Until the DVD was in our house and we watched all of them.
Yeah, basically.
Thanks, Walmart bin. I fucking hate Walmart, but I love it for two reasons. Little Debbie's ice cream. Awesome. $5 movie bin.
Barbecue Fritos.
Barbecue Fritos, which are no longer just exclusive to Walmart.
True, yeah.
But
which is fine by me.
That's it was a reason to go initially. So, yeah, that's kind of what spawned all this. The fifth movie is coming out. I said, hey, Arlo, you want to watch them with me? So, and I needed to rewatch all of them. So we're going to get to all that. But yeah, so the fifth one, direct sequel to the second one. The second one ends because some fucked up shit happens. So a psychic hypnotizes the dad and the son to not go back to the further and not deal with astral projection shit.
And not to remember.
Yeah, and I'm not going into what all that means because I already made this clear that this is spoilers, so well, if you know, you know.
It's the whole premise of Insidious.
Yes.
You know, it's a ghost through meditation.
Yeah. And astral projection shit is actually really interesting, and that's what drew me to this movie initially. Uh-huh. But, so, this movie is after that. So, it's 10 plus years later, Dalton's going off to college, he's a young, promising art student,
uh-huh.
He's drawn a bunch. It starts at the beginning of the movie with the grandmother's funeral, which Barbara Hershey died in real life. So I thought that was kind of cool that they commemorated her somehow. And I don't remember when. Time kind of blends together for me. It's been since the second one. I know that.
Did she pass?
Yeah. And Black Swan was another movie she was in. So it's been between 5 and 10 years ago. I don't remember. So it starts with her funeral. And right off the bat, it's clear that the Lambert family is not a together family anymore.
Yeah, they're broken somehow.
Yeah, it's very detached. So you gather pretty quickly that Renee and Josh got divorced. Josh has been not really a big, thriving father figure. And the whole problem with that is that's been beat to death.
Well, you pick that up quickly, and then the next 45 minutes are spent.
Plus. Are setting that tone.
Yeah, and just a lot of unnecessary.
Yeah, it's like, hey, did you know that it's brooding we're still kid. A broken family?
Yeah, like Dalton, super cute little kid, you know, and it's cool that it's the same cast, and it, you know, it's neat to see, but he's not great as an actor, kind of one note kind of deal. And
he's got, you know, kind of the emo artist hair, and he's like, I hate you, Dad.
They do some cool stuff with the drawings, and the intro to the movie is awesome.
That was one of like three parts that I liked.
One of the highlights.
Yeah. So the opening credits and shit, it's Dalton's art and drawing different characters and shit, and it's cool.
And his progression of from like his drawings as a little kid, and then you're imagining their, you know, from as he's getting older, they're getting better and better and more detailed.
And that break was brought to you by Sattva Mattresses. No, it wasn't.
The shit.
So, shit just cut out. We're not really sure what happened. We're back. So, Dalton, yes, is going to art school. And he is broody and mysterious and drawn all the time. And he's, at the end of the funeral, it's the whole thing is he's getting driven off to college.
And Dad hasn't been around for like a long time. Like he's pretty checked out. You don't know if it's professionally, like he's, you know, can't be there or just isn't able to be there. You know, what for what reason, but he hasn't been there.
Yeah, and since they made it sound like since they got their memories erased. So the mom, Roseburn, Renee was like, hey, I have an idea. Why don't you drive Dalton to school?
Father-son bonding.
I mean, Dalton's got some daughter-like qualities. He's got moody teenage girl shit going on. And fucking Josh is like, I don't know, man. I think that we're beyond repair. And so it starts off like super melodramatic. And she's like, come on. It would be a great experience for you to bond. So he's like, hey, son, do you want to go to college with me? And he's like, I don't give a fuck. Sure.
So reluctantly it happens.
Yeah. And it's awkward.
It's awkward. Yeah.
They get into it, and Dalton there's some kind of mishap with the college roommate assignments. So Dalton gets this chick roommate, and she is just kind of annoying from the get-go.
And so she's like the comic relief,
I guess. You know, what were the first two comic reliefs? The fucking Elise's paranormal sidekicks. They were the comic relief in the first four. They were annoying too. I'm sorry.
It was like watching off-brand comedy. You know, like
yeah. I love having comic relief, but if it's funny,
and that it didn't work.
Yeah, I forget their name. It doesn't matter. But so they try that with a new thing with this college roommate, and she's, you know, her whole thing is like, oh, it's a liberal arts college. Who gives a fuck? Whatever. But then, you know, they solve the whole roommate shit, but then she just essentially, like, forces herself upon being his friend.
100%, yeah. And it doesn't feel... It doesn't feel real, you know.
No.
Feels awkward.
Granted, I force myself upon all of my friends, and that's how we become friends, but... No,
you're welcome.
That's not... That's only sort of true, but actually, I don't know if Kelsey, if you listen to this, but Kelsey and I had the best fucking roommate situation in college because we just got, you know, randomly paired up, and that was, you know, back in the days where Facebook was really booming, so we had like a little roommate messaging thing going on, and we had two more roommates, but whatever. But her and I were like, hey, my favorite movie, Silence of the Lambs. Me too. Did we just become best friends?
It turns out.
And here we are. Love you, boo.
There's a bond.
Love you, man. Yeah, so, you know, there's some roots in horror. There is.
For sure.
So, that, I don't know, that whole dynamic felt forced. So, but Patrick Wilson left and was like, oh no, I am prepared to find out what is going on with my mental health after 10 years or whatever the fuck it was. He's like, I've been foggy for so long. And that's the thing. It's just, the dead horses beat so much about, I can't remember anything. It's like, wait a minute. How good is your memory? Like, can you remind me?
Yeah, yeah. It's not a lot happens.
No.
In the first long time.
So, Dalton's going through the college experience. He's doing his art shit, and he goes into this art class, and I have never been a part of art school, but I have friends that have. From what I understand, art school was a very brutal process because you are highly critiqued. You will make it known that even if it's good, it sucks, and you should just give up. And they start to go with that approach, but they don't stick with it.
Yeah.
The whole thing is Dalton's in fucking art class, and the instructor is like, hey, I'm going to make you guys dig into your memories. So we're going to count back from 10, and you're going to draw based on your emotions. So there it goes. Dalton fucking draws a door, and he starts bleeding all over. It's like, wow, it's kind of red. And so, first of all, there's that. And it's pretty crazy how all you have to do is count backwards from 10, and you can start to uncover repressed memories.
People meditate very quickly.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Very convenient and cool. So, there's that. And so, this keeps developing where he's, you know, trying to rehash this fucking drawing, painting some more. He keeps painting more shit. Then him and his roommate chick are like, let's go to this frat party that my dad gave me a fucking flyer for. And he meets a toilet ghost.
Yeah, he sees some frat kid that died in the house. He sees him. Then it just gets weirder and weirder from there.
Yeah, and he keeps feeling the need to communicate with this toilet ghost. And at some point, you know, he's gradually realizing something's going on with him. He's not, you know, the same old bright and cheery, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed Dalton, which I don't think he normally is.
I don't think he ever was that kid.
But he is telling this roommate chick that's plays the fucking keyboard with her mouth, whatever that instrument's called, and he's like, something's going on, I gotta figure out what's up. And meanwhile, his dad is trying to figure out what the fuck is going on with him. He gets an MRI done, And that's one of the other scenes that I did enjoy.
Definitely.
Because I don't know about you guys, but the thought of getting an MRI really does terrify me because I don't like tight spaces.
Yeah, I think that's almost universal, where it's, you know, it's a level of anxiety that it's ramped up, whether it goes beyond that line and you just can't do it. It has to make everyone feel
uncomfortable to a certain degree.
Right.
But and that's only shit.
No escape, you know?
That's only shit that scares me in haunted houses. Like, really and truly, when it's dark but cramped and you're having to crawl through something or you're like, that really does terrify me. If I ever need an MRI, I probably need, you know, some fucking Ativan or something.
Get sedated.
Yeah.
With some beats on.
But fucking Josh goes through the MRI machine, and the doctor makes it clear, like, hey, you need to stay very still. Which, that's another thing I would fucking fail at immediately. I'm always moving. So, he tells him, stay very still. If you need this shit to end, hit the button. So, as soon as he gets put through the MRI tube, the lights go out. Nobody's around to communicate. And he starts seeing, for lack of better words, the insidious shit. Or reminiscent of, and that's where I thought it could have been cooler, like,
from the further, you know, those from the further.
Yeah. And then he's like, fuck, get me out of here. And the doctor's like, you've been sleeping. The MRI went awesome. And he's like, what?
And that was his first glimpse back of, like, of maybe something that caused him to lose his memories.
Yeah.
The whole, astral projection.
Yeah, he's like, you want to tell me what the fuck is the meaning of this? And the doctor's like, meaning of what? You are snoozing, bro. Like,
everything's fine. You don't have a tumor. And he's like,
aw, man, I thought there was a real life explanation.
I mean, I understand. I guess I get the rationale, you know. At least, like,
you want to have an answer.
Yeah, fuck, now I'm nuts, you know.
But then the doctor catches him off guard. And he's like, do you have mental illness in your family? He's like, whoa, I don't even know my dad. Because that's a theme that is also established from the very beginning when him and fucking Dalton get into it. He's like, at least I was your dad. Am your dad. I never knew my dad. It's like it's like a fucking drinking game to see how many times you could say your dad, my dad, in a fucking 2-minute period.
Yeah.
So he's like, wait a minute. Mental illness? Where are you going with this? And it's like, anytime anybody asks you about mental illness, you know where the fuck it's going. It's not very coy and bashful.
Right.
And so he's like, God damn it, I ain't mentally ill, I ain't playing that shit. And he's like, how about you play some matching memory games? He's like, I ain't no child either, motherfucker! So, Josh kind of freaks out a little bit, but then eventually, he starts playing a matching game. In his fucking little house, he has pictures of his kids printed out, and he's trying to match them. He's doing poorly, and honestly, not believably poorly.
Yeah, he's not a great actor.
No, because, like, the thing is, it's like, he'd be like, Mom, Dalton.
Yeah, see, I think
Foster, goddamn it. Like,
and I probably enjoy him in the first Insidious the most out of his movies, you know, because he's the father, the husband, the Warner husband, you know, what's that word?
The Conjuring movies. The Warren.
Yeah, the Warren
family. Yeah, I probably like him better as Ed Warren too, although I will make an argument, I really do like him in the second Insidious, because he has some Jack Nicholson-esque moments in that movie.
Yeah, I don't feel like he seemed really flat and just like whatever.
He was very flat, and the reason, but he did direct this movie, which is why I kind of wanted to like it a little more. What? But it was just like the whole tone was beat to death.
It was unnecessary.
It was. So, even more unnecessary, they're testing his memory. He's like, stupid. And then, so as he's like putting his fucking pictures back up. And the thing is, the reason it's not believable, too, is because he's a teacher. He grades papers all the time.
Yeah, he's like, supposed to be, yeah, right.
Like, and so, for him to be like, A, B, D, D. Damn it! Like, it just didn't add up. So yeah, he's fucking matching, trying to play this matching game, but in a way that it's relevant to him, which I respect. But then they show this fucking figure in the window.
Yeah.
And it all of a sudden turns out to be his father, which you find out through conveniently placed evidence. Like, and if you think it sounds ridiculous, it's because it is. Like, all of a sudden you find a box. You're like, wait a minute. There's a box here.
Yeah, yeah, too much stuff that gets dropped in the storyline just for no reason. You know that... Yeah.
Yeah. So he finds this fucking box. He's like, what's this man's name?
His dad went crazy and left his family, and that's what he's doing to his family.
Yeah. And so he's like, why did my dad leave? I don't even get it. What is he leaving behind? Oh, he has schizophrenia. Convenient. Wow, I do have mental illness in my family. So he starts questioning as to why. Like, is he crazy? What the fuck is going on? And then he finds out that it said in his dad's chart, like, schizophrenia, astral projection.
They
spoon fed it to you.
Jesus. But they had to, because it was so out of nowhere.
Yeah.
They had to, like, they needed a voiceover to explain what they were, how they were wrapping right. the shit up. Like, not good.
No.
Not unnecessary. The Insidious, the first movie is pretty great. Like,
yeah.
I liked it. You know, and this is supposed to be the years later, the one right after that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It is just, but it felt like, but it felt like it was in situations like that where it was kind of treating the audience like it was dumb and like it, like we haven't been here all along these movies.
And telling us a story that, like, I don't know. Like,
and it was just cheap feeling. Yeah. And so he was like, oh, wait a minute. I do have a dad. So, fuck me for telling Dalton that I didn't.
And so much suspense that adds up to a movie that's much longer than it needs to.
Yeah.
Suspense where it doesn't need, like, it doesn't work to make, like, unnecessary. The movie was unnecessary.
Yeah. And like, that's what we're getting to. So, essentially, like, these two storylines come together where Dalton realizes from... that he can astral project, and at first he doesn't understand why. But then the part of his painting that was missing was that his dad was in it. And so
in a real fucking, like, Jack Nicholson
type of way.
Breaking through doors with a hammer.
Yeah, and he's like, why the fuck is my dad frightening? So he calls his brother. He's like, I don't know, man. Mom told us those memories were fake. And so then, meanwhile, fucking... Josh goes to his ex-wife, fucking Rose Byrne Renee's house, and she's tired as fuck. Like, it's like she gave up all of her acting ability. She reminded me of Scully from the new installment of the X-Files, where she had, like, kind of a raspy, tired voice, and you could just tell she didn't want to be there for the entire thing.
Phoned it in.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they build the movie as, like, the cast was coming back.
Yeah.
And, like, so she probably got paid well.
I'm sure she did. She was like, hey, Josh.
Yeah.
What's up? He's like, you mean to tell me that I have a father? She's like, I didn't fucking know any of that.
And
like,
also, I don't know. Like, I kind of feel her performance, because she's been dealing with Josh. Like, okay. So
I felt her the most, yes.
You know, because she, like... we're just watching this movie and getting annoyed, but she's lived with that shit for 10 years.
Yeah, and there's a reason she divorced him.
She's burned out. Yeah,
because she's like, God damn it! If I hear about one more fucking astral projection,
I mean, it's kind of sad initially.
You're like,
oh, they couldn't make
it
because they wrap it up and just leave it. Not that every story needs like a bow on it, but like that story gets left. Where they're gonna forget, and that's fine. That's the end.
Yeah.
And now that's not what really happened 10 years later.
And honestly, that was probably one of the better scenes in the movie, where she does reveal to him, like, you were made to forget this. He's like, God damn it, why? I don't know why I keep having this redneck voice.
Yeah, because that's not really his character at all, but yeah.
I think it's because of the, I don't know, fucking stupidity
like
of it all.
It's like doing
it. Ma'am! So, yeah, he goes to her, like, oh my God, Renee, I'm crazy. Also, I miss you.
And confused. God, and
like,
know.
And so she sits him down. She's like, Josh, buddy boy, but not even with that much dynamic quality of voice. She's like, oh fuck. She's like, does anyone have hard drugs? And she tells him eventually, we had to have you repress your memories, and Dalton too, because of all the shit that was happening. He's like, I demand an explanation. She's like, well, you tried to kill our family.
She said, like, I know 100% it wasn't you coming at us trying to kill us.
She said that. The kids. She said that, but that's bullshit. If you watch the second movie again, she looks at him.
Convenient storytelling. Yeah.
She did not believe that he was back from the further. Because he gave her a hug at the end.
Okay, but since then, she could have, like, you know, I feel like she hurts for him, like, no one went through, but yeah, there's no changing what he went through.
So after that, he's just a fucking zombie with no experiences basically anymore.
Yeah,
like, he's like, I can't remember. She's like, I can't do this anymore.
Post-coma, yeah.
Yeah, so between her son being in a coma and her fucking husband, ex-husband, not remembering anything, she's like, this is a doll goddamn family. I'm divorcing his ass.
Shit down there. Get out of my house.
I have never been more dried up in my pussy than I am now. I would rather be a single mom than deal with two comatose fucking idiots.
Hey, Josh, how foggy are you?
He couldn't get it up for years after that. He's like, I don't remember how to have an erection. She's like, that's enough. At least when you were fucking Jack Nicholson, you had raging boners that were fueled by ghosts.
Everybody knows ghost boners are the best.
Ghost fear boners.
Fear, what? It's a thing?
It is. Which, that's a whole nother podcast for a different day. We're not going into that and how we know anything about that.
Too personal, yeah.
Too personal. But, so, yes. So she reveals it to him, and he freaks out, and then he's like, immediately, why have you kept this secret? You try to kill our whole family. So, within,
and
like,
the kids
a blink.
Remember this.
Yeah, but she kept telling him, nope, it didn't happen. So,
or I guess Dalton doesn't, but the two other younger kids remember that.
So she just gaslit her kids. Was like, nope, not real memories.
That's what moms have to do.
Sort of.
Take the trauma from the kids. That's what moms do.
Sure, it's true. But then it just gets rehashed 20 years later.
Sure, but so, the meaning to do the best.
It's true. And she did. And I couldn't imagine being her spot. But so his response after he like accuses her of keeping secrets from him. She said, you try to murder our whole family. So he just looks at her and is like, yeah, well, fuck. I guess I gotta make this right. So she hypnotizes him, puts him to sleep by counting backwards from 10. Maybe a metronome is involved. I don't remember. Probably. So again, it's very easy to get people
and
hypnotized.
This is very, very deep in the movie.
Yeah.
We've already sat through
Through an hour and a half.
Yeah, and it finally gets to the point where you probably are watching the movie for.
Yeah. So, as Josh falls asleep, Dalton's realizing, oh my God, I kind of remember my childhood.
Which is kind of, because they're in different parts of the country. He's at college, but they're meeting in the further.
They're
together,
in different parts of the back hills of West Virginia.
They're astral together. Yeah.
There are different parts of Appalachia. No, that's not where it is, but so they both wind up in the further, and so the reason I do have to spoil this, because one of the reasons I really wanted to like this movie, I had heard that the red-faced demon, Darth Maul, was back, and even though he looks like Darth Maul, he was still a pretty fucking redeeming first part of that first movie.
They're just those. I mean, it's such a small part of the movies. You know, that's not why those movies are scary.
No, but like the whole like splicing him into broad daylight and the whole tiptoe through the tulips. They try to go back to both of those things. The issue is, they're in the further for all of 5 to 10 minutes within the last, like, 15 minutes of the movie. Mm-hmm. So, it's all this build-up and all this tone setting. And the red-faced demon is not even the same shade of red. It's not even the same actor. He's, like, the maroon moon crimson face demon.
It makes me, it puts me in a Cenobite kind of.
Yeah!
Kind of mood. Which, are, you know, this come across as kind of goofy.
Sometimes. Which I, you know, I can't comment because I haven't seen past Hellraiser 2. That's a rabbit hole I'd like to go down because I've heard they're really bad.
Hellfraiser.
Hellfraiser, which I would love for that to happen. But, yeah, so the red-faced demon is there for all of 2 fucking seconds. He's not even the same shade of red. And the whole thing is, oh my god, we can't keep this door held. What are we going to do? Because they're trying to get back to being awake. So Josh is like, I'm going to hold it down. Go ahead, Dalton. And Dalton, you know, wakes up and his...
And goes back, yeah, goes back to...
To real life. Yeah. And his roommate's like, oh, Dalton, I love you. I'm your friend. What happened? He's like, I got to paint. So what happens? And I shit you not.
This is what happens.
Have you ever listened to the Rolling Stones? Cool. So I'm not spoiling anything. You know the song Paint It Black? I see a red door and I want to paint it black. That is the resolution of the goddamn movie. Dalton paints the red door.
The whole series.
And that's what makes it infuriating. Dalton wakes up is like, I know what I need to do now. And meanwhile, his dad is holding the door.
And getting black paint dripped on him in the further as Dalton in the real world paints the painting.
Because he thinks he's going to die in the further because he saw a note from his father saying, it ends with me. And that's why his father jumped off the fucking psych hospital thinking that if he killed himself, then he wouldn't subject further generations to the further and astral projection. Obviously, that doesn't
work. It didn't
work
that way. Yeah.
So Patrick Wilson is trying to be noble. He's like, I will save Dalton because I've been a shitty father since my memories were repressed. So he's trying to hold the door. And then Dalton paints over it. He sees the red door and he paints it black. And then shit chills out in the further. And Patrick Wilson's like, okay. And then he's like, Dad? Shit you not.
Out of nowhere.
He's like, Daddy? And he gets some kind of closure from his dad. And then he gets to go back to life. And so Renee and, you know, meanwhile, his other two kids are... Wow, for some reason our shit's like losing left and right. And I'm not really editing this. So here we go. They're our family again. And he wakes up. He's like, oh my God, you wouldn't believe. And they're like, We know, you were in the further again. Let's call Dalton. Dalton calls us like, I'm fine. College is great. And I repainted my art. They're like, good job,
and
son.
And I'm into black chicks.
And I'm... and I love being pegged in the asshole. And they're like, good for you, son. It's your fucking experimental phase. But no, that's legit how it ends. And then Josh goes back out to his car for whatever reason, I don't remember. And a vision of Elise pops up. Which I did appreciate a couple different nuggets of Elise in this movie because I love Elise and I'll go into a little more detail with that. But at the end, she's like, hi. Hey, Josh. He's like, I feel like I know you. She's like, you do. Hey, how's Dalton? How's the family? He's like, well, I hope I'll be a part of it again. And it just, as much as I loved Elise, it ended real fucking lame.
Yeah. Again, didn't.
Yeah, and that's the consensus of this entire movie. It was tired. You know, I'm going to bring out my notes. I wrote down tired, lackluster, further only lasted 15 minutes. Honestly, and the one thing too, as the movie was ending, I felt like my armpits really stunk, and I was more in tune with that.
It doesn't work as a drama. It's a boring ass drama.
Yeah.
And it didn't get to where you thought it was going to go for way too long.
And the jump scares were really lame. And the one thing we were talking about outside, I didn't really realize until very recently that all those movies are PG-13. And I do have a stigma with the PG-13 movies that doesn't automatically make them bad. But what that makes them is you need to do more.
Yeah, because it can be cheap.
It can be cheap.
Like,
and that's, it just, and it didn't feel like any of the old further. At least with the sequels, which were weak, and I'll get into that in a second. There were elements of The Further that redeemed those movies a bit. When you're in The Further for fucking 10 minutes, and you see the old lady drag lady for a minute, and the crimson fucking demon that may or may not be Darth Maul, like, it doesn't really redeem it. It just felt overall super duper unnecessary. I don't know. Like, they're just, it wasn't. And the thing is, like, we did go into this with low expectations. One of my coworkers did say, you know, flat. Totally. Mm-hmm. And agree. And one of my favorite horror creators on TikTok, I think it's Stony the Great is his name. His review was, I felt like there was something missing the whole time. I actually felt like it should have been longer. What was missing was everything. I disagree that it should have been longer, because it was already, like, pushing 2 hours and nothing happened. I think they just utilized the time super poorly.
Yeah.
They spent so much time trying to set a tone, and I wanted to like it more than I did because I heard the Red Face Demon was back. It had the original cast, but it, once again, the brother and sister that are Dalton get very much overlooked. Like,
well, they're not part of the story, so they don't even try. Like, I forgot that there was a younger, two younger siblings.
Yeah, well, the sister was a baby in that movie.
Yeah, and so, and the other brother is a big part of the first movie, I guess.
He is, because he's scared.
Not as a character, but as, like, yeah.
But, yeah, so, honestly, I think it was a really piss-poor way to wrap everything up. And that's, you know, the sequels aren't anything super fantastic, but I think, after we were talking, this was the worst one.
Because it felt like it told a story that didn't need to be told.
Yeah, and so this leads us to the other ones. Obviously, the first one is the best. I was drawn to the whole plot of the first Insidious because I don't know that I've actually, like, I've never had a true out-of-body experience where I've seen my body float above my sleeping body, but when I lived in my parents' basement, I've traveled through those walls. So, that's something, like, to me, the whole concept of astral projection is very interesting, and I haven't really tried to pursue it further because I also don't want, I'm not interested in fucking with other dimensions. I've also had situations in our current bedroom where I've had situations that with a family being behind the wall. And that's not something I necessarily want to explore further. I was given holy water, and sorry, editing skills aren't there, but we keep having technical difficulties, so
we do this for fun.
Yeah, we do this for fun, not sure what you're just talking about, but the first Insidious is cool with the astral, the family in the wall. Yeah, not trying to really revisit that, so I do have a book on, like, it's more like an objective, scientific kind of viewpoint of astral projections. It's interesting, not necessarily something that I want to pursue further. I've seen and heard enough. But the concept was interesting, and the first one I saw in the theaters, I think I was the only one laughing in the theaters when, Renee and Dalton had matching monkey pajamas.
Oh, right at the beginning.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, fuck, you all don't find that funny? But the first Insidious was pretty legit.
It was cool, yeah. It's a neat way to get to the ghosts, the mm-hmm. ghost realm, you know, which, yeah, it was.
And Arlo and I were talking about it, like, supernatural ghost stuff isn't necessarily our favorite avenue of horror, but I don't dislike it. It was cool. So I loved it for that. One thing about the first Insidious that's cool too is the whole, there's a lot of scary shit that happens in the daytime. It made Tiptoe Through the Tulips fucking creepy.
Yeah.
I was here for it. The second one, I rewatched for the first time with Arlo since it had come out. I saw it in the theater with my friends. I was not sober, but I remember being so up in arms. I was like, this movie could have been cool, but it felt like one of the scriptwriters was like, all right, so this ghost that's antagonizing him is a man in drag, and he loves being an old lady, and that's very much like oversimplifying it, but you know, to me, with my fucking Milwaukee's Best Beast Ice Brain or whatever the fuck I was drinking at the time, that's, I was like, this is like horseshit. It was like all the writers didn't come together. But watching it a second time, I did like it better.
Yeah.
And there were elements of it I'm like, wow, there's actually some scares in this one that I think are more effective than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing, it picks up directly, and the way the first one ends, Josh choked out Elise and killed her. So they're trying to, you know, wrap up that, like, why did she die? Did he murder her and this and that? And they think that everything's okay, but he's still very much not okay and possessed by. So they have to go back in the further again, and that's when he goes all fucking Jack Nicholson on them and has to kill the family, and Dalton has to save them, even though they don't want Dalton to have to fucking
but he's
do
the
it.
One they can go back in.
Yeah, because they're like, you were in a coma for fucking 17 years. No, it was just, or 6 months or something. But
it was a while. Though.
It was a while. Yeah. So, that's the second one. The third one was totally forgettable. And that's a prequel with Elise, which I love Elise, but we just tried to watch it again and I fell asleep. And I didn't care to turn it back on. So there's my opinion there. Unfortunately, Elise wasn't enough to save that movie. The fourth one, and I know I did a podcast on this when it came out, so I don't want to beat a dead horse. Not an amazing movie by any means, but I do really kind of have a soft spot for that movie because I empathize with Elise and her childhood and her upbringing. Because I feel like the thing that really draws me to Elise is not only is she a psychic, but she's very empathic.
Yeah, that's what drives her to do
to do what she does.
Use her skills.
So, and that's the whole fourth movie. Like, she, as a child, was beat the shit out of by her dad because she wouldn't say, and what a little badass to say, like, I'm not going to pretend I'm not gifted, but she goes through the further experience in her childhood home. Her mother winds up dying because she accidentally opens a dimension. Mm-hmm. So she gets called back there years later. So it's not an amazing movie and I see its flaws, but I do have a giant soft spot for that movie.
Yeah, that character.
And I love Elise. And actually, Lin Shaye is a badass, like, in general. She has been in the horror community for a while. I'm pretty sure she's one of, I think she's the teacher in Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, there's a bunch of nuggets in her in old movies that I forget about.
Uh-huh.
But I love Elise. So her sidekicks are annoying, but, like, I just, if I was a psychic, that's what I would want to do, is help people and, like, not be like, I'm going to read your palm and all this bullshit. So, the ultimate, I want to end this because we've had so many technical difficulties, but I do feel the need to rate these. Rate these and rank these.
What you got, babe?
Five is last. Dead last.
Easy.
For me, it probably has to go 1, 2, 4, 2. Which, I know,
3, 5.
Maybe, yeah, 3, 5. I know you're probably going to come after me because, oh, the second one. Okay, I did like the second one better. And Elise was in the second one. She was in the further and she did help. But I did love Elise being the main character.
The storyline.
Yeah. And I wanted that from the third one. But it continues to be totally forgettable. But I would take, but that was also like a prequel movie. Whatever. The fifth one, to wrap up the series, nope. That is dead last for me.
Unnecessary.
They didn't have to make it. I say try again. Like, they're remaking everything anyway, so in 20 years, it'll be like, we're going to get, it'll be like Dexter, where they're like, we're going to give this a better ending.
I think partly, too, like, I just saw all of them, so I have no nostalgia for any of it. And it just, no thanks.
Well, and I don't know, like, in terms of all the horror series, it's not the one that I've been most invested in.
Yeah.
I've seen them all.
Right.
And I think Insidious is a decent movie. Well, a lot of times it gets compared with Sinister. I think Sinister's better, which we need to watch. Although, the thing that I like about Insidious versus Sinister is that because of the least factor, and like there, it is about two families in each movie, but I do feel more of a connection like watching the Lambert family versus the family in Sinister. Uh-huh. But I do think that Sinister's a cooler movie. And I do, and Insidious does kind of preface the whole Conjuring universe, which honestly, all in all, is dog shit. The first two Conjurings are good, the third one's eh, but the Annabelles, fuck them, the Nun, fuck it, they're making the Nun 2, no one asked for it, am I gonna see it? Probably. But, like, no, and the Curse of La Llorona, like, they're not, it's not a good series. But I do like Patrick Wilson a lot as an actor. I think that this movie, he just, like, overemphasized where his character was coming from. And I wanted to like it because I'm pretty sure it was his directorial debut. Not the one to start with, homie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would love to see something else from Patrick Wilson. I don't doubt him, but this just wasn't the one. So it, we're running into a whole hell of a lot of technical difficulties tonight for some reason, so rough,
yeah.
We're about ready to end it, but I had so much to say. One thing I want to close this off with that really drove me nuts was that in the first two Insidious movies, Rose Byrne's character, Renee, the mom, her hair always stayed very beautifully curly, and I don't trust that or think it's realistic. So when you watch it again, I want you to look for that little nugget and say, like, yeah, okay, she does do a decent job of being, like, in quiet hysteria for a couple movies, but her hair doesn't match her feelings. And I want you to pay special attention to that, because that drove me nuts the first couple movies. I'm like, okay, your husband's trying to kill you and your hair's still so nice. I don't buy it.
Bullshit. Call bullshit.
I look like fucking Albert Einstein as if I so much as stand up off the couch. So, that's gotta be it. We can't keep doing this fucking technological bullshit. Maybe one day I'll figure out how to edit this, but since we are doing this for fun, plus Friskies wants to sponsor us, and maybe I'll do this a little more fucking seriously. But
then we can hire the Dove.
Then we can. The Dove is Googling. So, if any of you understand that reference, excellent. So, just real quick, so there is a movie coming out this weekend called Cobweb that is only in select theaters and looks pretty cool, but it's, of course, not around here, so maybe one day I'll see it. Me and the girls are going to see Talk to Me next weekend. Excuse me, so we'll see what happens, but right now, I don't want to talk about this shit anymore. Baby, anything else you want to say?
Over and out.
Over and out. Love you all. Stay spooky. Peace.